Welcome to the March 3rd sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, and the sermon is entitled, Warning, Former Transactions, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
And I'm grateful that you are here today. It's amazing to see that the goodness of God has played throughout this service. Because even when it gets hard and even when it's difficult, here's what I want you to know. God is still good. And today, we're going to look back at some difficult things in Scripture. Some difficult times that God had to enact judgment. And even in those times of judgment, here is the truth. God did it because He is holy and He is good. And so today, I don't know where you are in your life and where I am in my life. Here's the reality. No matter where we are, God never changes. And we're thankful for that. And so with that, take your Bible, 2 Peter chapter number 2. And I'm going to just tell you, we're not going to get through chapter number 2 before Easter. So we're camping out here a while talking about false teachers. And it's amazing in chapter number 2, or actually, Peter in general, he warns us in Scripture in different areas. He warns the leaders and he challenges the leaders to be sober in what they do. I think you remember that sermon to the pastor. I preached to myself that week, I felt like. And it was a warning to the leaders of the church that they must lead well. And you remember also the warning to the believers to be sober-minded because there is an adversary that seeks to devour and he roams like a lion. And you remember that warning. And last week, we remember the warning of false teachers or false preachers that were creeping into the church to mislead the body, to misconstrue their faith. But also, many of them were teaching that something must be added to Jesus. And here's what we discovered last week. If you remember from the sermon last week, anything added to Jesus for salvation is not right. If it's Jesus and something in order to be saved, it is a false gospel. Jesus alone saves. Amen? And so you know that. And today we understand that. But here is a stern warning again today, written by Peter to remind us of the consequences of those that choose sin and those that mislead the flock and the people of God. We look back into the history and we understand the words of Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, which say this, "For I am the Lord, I change not." So, in 2024, why is it important that we look back? Because God does not change. God is a God of love, and I want you to understand that He loves every person. But the second part of that statement that you must understand is this: God is a God of judgment. And I know that is anti-cultural of this day. The world does not want to hear about a God that judges. They only want half truth. They only want the part that God is love and He loves everybody. But here is the reality. Yes, God loves everybody, but God does not love sin. And so God has to enact judgment upon that. What do we learn about this? Today our message is entitled, Warning, the Former Transactions. How many of you love to do transactions? I don't really. Maybe I do. I got to be careful here. Some of us don't like transactions because you got to deal with people, right? And it's hard to deal with people in today's time. Anytime you perform a transaction, I don't care if you go to the grocery store or to the bank or you have work done. If you go to the dentist to have your teeth done, that's a transaction. I don't like the dentist. I love my dentist. I don't like going to the dentist. Let me say that. But here's the reality. When we think about a transaction, we look for the people that are familiar to us. That's the way I do it. The people that have been trustworthy and truthful and that I can deal with, I'm going to return to those people. When I go to the bank, there is one person in particular that I look for at the bank. She meets me with a smiling face. She knows my name. She understands that I'm coming there and why, and she helps me every way that I can. There are other ways of transactions, and maybe it's a babysitter. Maybe you have young kids, or maybe you have had kids, and there was one babysitter you really loved. You could count on, you could depend on. I'm glad I'm out of that babysitter stage of things. But here's what I want you to know. As we think about familiar people and garnering trust, Peter's job today is to remind the people in his day, but also to remind us, those who would read this word later, that God is still in the transaction business. He has not forgotten what his job is. And last week's sermon, we left off in verse number 3. And we left it with this thought. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. His warning, as we ended last week, was judgment would come to the false teachers. He's not putting it off. He's not asleep. He hadn't forgotten. It seems like they are winning and they are gaining traction and they are gaining control. But here is the promise of God. I have not forgotten. I will take care of them. And so, in his promise today, we look at these former transactions. Today, the majority of our service or our sermon today are going to concentrate on three former things that God did. So take your Bible, 2 Peter chapter number 2, verses 4 through 6. You're going to get all three in these three verses, 4 through 6. Look at verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample to those that after should live ungodly. Today, point number one, in which we're going to spend a lot of time at, is this. Point number one, in former transaction, sin will be judged. Sin will be judged. When you think of that thought, notice in verse number 4, Peter starts this section, and it starts with God. Look at verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels. It all begins with God. Here's what I want you to know, church. As you look at me real quick, I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Judgment is not our responsibility. Okay? Judgment belongs to God. And so we as the church have gotten a black eye because we have become the judge in a lot of places. Now, I want you to know there are times where we must stick to God's word and we must stand on God's word. And that is not judgment. That is just being godly. But when we think of judging, it is God's duty to judge. James says it like this in James chapter 4, verse number 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. James says this, there's only one person. There's only one person in charge of judging, but that same person that is in charge of judging is also the one that will or can save. And so today, there is a two-sided coin when we look at God. Yes, God is love, but yes, God is the judge. And so through James and through Peter, we see it starts with God. The world tries to dampen judgment with love, but out of love, God has to judge that which is unlovable, which we call sin. And so with that said, there are three examples. Look at verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. I almost pumped the brakes on this so much that I broke this up into three different sermons. And it could be. I want you to know there's a lot of information here. So I want to challenge you today to go back and you read the accounts of the angels falling and the world being destroyed and Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed on your own, because they are three different sermons. But Peter mentions the angels. And sometime before creation of the world, a revolt was led by Satan himself. And as this revolt occurred, it is believed that one third of the angels fell with him. They became fallen angels as they rebelled with Satan. There are a couple of scriptures that speak to this. Luke chapter 10, verse number 18. Here's what the word says. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That's what Jesus says there. In the book of Isaiah chapter number 14, verses 12 through 14. Here's what the prophet Isaiah writes. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend to heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. These scriptures speak, and there's one in Ezekiel chapter 28. I'm not going to read that right now. But there was a power struggle long before the world was created between God and between Satan. And Satan tried to lead that revolt. And God, in his great judgment, he did not even spare the created angels, these created beings. Now, I want to stop right here and say this. Angels and people are two different creations from God. And we think angels are awesome. And we do. I'm fascinated by angels. I'm fascinated on how God uses angels. But a greater creation than even the angels is the human being. That is God's prized creation. The angels are not the prized creation. You and I are. We are God's prized creation, but these angels, led by Satan, thought that they could reach a height that was greater than God. And Peter tells us that these angels that were created to be worshiped and to assist the powerful work of God are now in chaos. They are fallen from heaven. The word that is used is tartarus. It is a Greek mythology word that is in your Bible. And that word is a place that is lower than Hades. It is the only time in your Bible that word is used and it is translated hell. It should not be. And I'm not trying to question the word of God. It is not even hell. It's a place lower than hell. So these angels have been cast out into chains in a place that is the lowest of low. Now think of this with me. These are angels that were once in God's presence, and now they are in a place that can't even be touched by His light and by His grace. They remain there until the final judgment. I want you to know these fallen angels, they had a job, and they rebelled on that job, and they sinned against God, and they were judged for that. He didn't even spare the angels for turning on Him. And their false leader, their false teacher, Satan. So remember, when we think of false teachers, Satan is the prime example. As he led that revolt from the very beginning with the angels, he led that revolt, and now they are banished and they are chained. Look at verse number 4. It says, for if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into the chains of darkness. They are in a place that is so dark, they will never return to the glory of God. That is the first example, the angel. What is the second example? Look at verse number 5. And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. The second example is the world. And Peter refers to the world before the flood as the old world. God brings the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And this world is described in Genesis chapter number 6, verses 5 and 6. And you understand that a little bit from the reading earlier today. But Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Here's what God saw as he looked at that old world. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on this earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now think of this with me. God made the mountains, correct? And God made the seas, correct? And God made all the animals of the earth, correct? And God made humans, the prize creation. And why did he make humans? Because he wanted relationship with them. He did not have relationship with anything else, but he had relationship with his prize creation, the human beings. And as he looked at that old world, it grieved his heart to the point that verse number 6 said, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Verse number 11 of chapter 6 says, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And so in his mind, as he's looking at this earth and all that he created and all that he spent his time on and all that he worked for and all that he wished for, here's what God says. It's very different than I intended it because of sin. Because of sin. And he said, now as I look at this earth, in my heart, I've only got one choice to straighten this old world out. And that was with a massive flood. And you know that story as the ark is being built and as God floods the earth and water comes from every direction. And his sole intention was this, to get rid of sin. It wasn't to kill people. God doesn't delight in that. God does not delight in destroying people. He did not delight in destroying his creation. God's intention was to rid the earth of sin. Growing up, I had a Bible growing up, and in that Bible it had some pictures, and maybe some of you might have these Bibles still. But one of those scenes that I can never get out, I'm a 41-year-old man, and I still have this scene from a child implanted in my head, is the waters that are covering the earth. And there in that Bible that I had, there's one man that is just reaching, and he's this deep in water, but he's reaching, trying to find something to grasp to. That picture always bothered me. Because he was offered and offered and offered and offered. And in the background, you see the boat going the opposite direction. God judged the old world with a flood, but he had to do it because of sin. Sin will be judged. It will be judged in the life of the angels. It will be judged in the world. And look at verse number 6. It was judged in Sodom and Gomorrah, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample to those that after should live ungodly. Genesis chapter number 19 tells the story of two people showing up in the city, two angels showing up in the city of Sodom. And that city is the one that Lot picked because it seemed very pleasant to the eye. This city, though, even though it looked good, it was filled with sin. And it became that way. So today, as we think about those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, you understand, you've heard those tales about that. As that city was filled with sin and it was rampant with homosexual activity, so much so the men of the city came after these two men, male angels, and trying to take them for their own. And Lot, in his thinking, I don't understand Lot, and it's not my job to judge Lot or understand Lot either, but Lot offers his two daughters for these men. And what a thought. I'm like, Lot, what are you thinking? But they did not want that. These men were then struck with blindness, but that did not change their sinful intentions. And you know the story. Lot and his wife and his daughters were able to make it out of the city. But here's the reality. God said, I will spare the city if there are 10 righteous. I'm not going to go through the progression, but you know it started out and it worked. If there are 10 good and righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, I will save the city. That was the promise of God. And here's the reality. There were not 10. And so God, at His word, had to enact judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Peter says this is an example of the judgment that will come to the ungodly. I'm grateful today, as I look at this point, that because of sin, God must judge it. God did not spare angels. He did not spare the world. He did not spare the cities that followed the ungodly way. They were judged as He promised. And so, as we fast forward to 2 Peter chapter number 2, the promise of judgment for false teachers for sin will happen. And I know, as Christians, and as a world, and as a church, we kind of get impatient with that, don't we? Maybe it has crossed your mind, why does it seem like all the ungodly people are flourishing, that are doing well, that are being, I'm going to use quotations, that are being blessed? It is not God's blessing. Here's the reality. Their greatest hope is this world. The greatest hope for a Christian is not this world. It is another world. It's forever with eternity with Jesus Christ. That is our great hope. And so I want you Christians today, don't be discouraged as these early Christians and the early church was, as they seen this rampant immorality going around and it seemed like it was being blessed. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged, knowing that God is the same today as He was yesterday, as He was years before. God will not change. And in the same manner, He will judge sin for what it is. The end of 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 3, promise that damnation does not slumber. The destruction will come. But there is a key word before I move on in verse number 4 that I do not want you to miss. And that is the little word, look at verse number 4, for if God spared not. That little word, if God didn't do it for the angels, and He didn't spare the entire world. He only saved 8 people. And He didn't save the city. He's not going to save anybody else that is living a life that is filled with sin. I believe as Noah built that ark, he tried to witness. And as the scripture is going to show, Lot, even though he was in a bad city, he was a good, righteous man, according to the Word of God. Today, church, sin must be judged. It is not our job, it is God's job. Point number 2 today, look at verses 5 and then 7 and 8. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now we'll skip to verse number 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Point number 2 today. First point is that sin is going to be judged. The second point is this, the righteous will be saved. Amen? The righteous will be saved. In this time of judgment, we look back and the one thing that we know about the flood is we see that it destroyed the earth. And we look at the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and we see that it was destroyed by brimstone and fire. And we look at this, but we also cannot miss the points that Peter has in this story. In verse number 5, it says that Noah was saved. In verse number 7, it says that Lot was delivered in the midst of judgment, guess what? God is still at work. God is still in the saving business. God is still in the business of delivering. And the first example in verse number 5 is Noah and his family. They were saved by the hand of God. Peter calls Noah what? Look at this. This is important in verse number 5. A preacher of righteousness. Now I want you to think about that. We think of old Noah, and you've seen the pictures. I don't care how you envision Noah building the ark. Okay? Working on that boat. Maybe you envision it. That was not a turnaround in 6 months. That was years upon years upon years of work. Upwards of 80 to 100 years of his life building this boat. Now think of this, a preacher of righteousness in the life of Noah. Here's what he did. As his job commanded by God was to build this ark to save those who would get on. To save the animals that are there. Two by two, they marched on there. You know that story, don't you? But I believe every time, every day, he built that boat in the middle of a desert, people walked by him and said, "You're crazy, man. You're a crazy old man." But as he built that boat, he just talked about how obedient he was to his God. I believe that he even invited people to come on board with him. Come on and help me out. I believe that. It's not in Scripture, but I believe as he was a preacher of righteousness, he told the people, "This is the way. The boat, the ark is the way to salvation. Won't you come on and get on board with me?" This wasn't a Carnival Cruise Line. I want you to know that, okay? It wasn't for the enjoyment. It was for the salvation of the people. Peter also tells us there were 8 people that got on that boat, all of them connected to Noah. And I believe as he preached and he built and he invited and he pleaded with people because destruction would come, there were only 8 that experienced the old world that would experience the new world. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? Today, church, there's only one way to be saved out of this old world to a new world. And that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God saved Noah and his family. Look at verse number 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Verses 7 and 8 tell us, as I scratched my head on this one and I try to think of the actions because I know the rest of Lot's story. And it's not pretty. Lot did not have a pretty life. But here's what Peter says about him. He calls, in verse number 7, he refers to Lot as a just man. And if I read Genesis and the rest of his life and what he does, I have to say, if I was the judge, I would say, this man ain't saved. This man is sinful. But as I am reminded, I am not the judge of Lot. God is. And Peter says that he was just. And in verse number 7, he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. In verse number 8, for that righteous man, Peter calls him a righteous man, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Here's the picture that is painted about Lot's life. Yes, he lived in a wicked place. Yes, he lived in a wicked city. Yes, he committed sins himself. But every day, in every moment of his life, in the place of Sodom and Gomorrah, he was vexed or tormented in the city of wickedness. He was tormented day by day with the behavior and the conversation that he heard. Peter labels this man a righteous man. And here's what we are told. God delivered. God delivered. And I want to say something about Lot's life here. And I want to leave this as a charge for us. These two families teach us something. The family of Noah and the family of Lot teach us this. The part of our job in this old world is to speak of God when given the opportunity. That's the first thing. No matter what you're doing, no matter what God has called you to do in the workplace and in the home, God asks us to speak the good name of Jesus Christ when we're given that opportunity. That's what Noah's life has taught me. But also, more than speaking the name of our God, that we, no matter the culture of the day that goes against God and that goes against the righteousness found in Christ, that we can honor God through our lives and through our families as we are faithful to Him. Here's the one question that I have, and this is the pastor's question. I don't even know if I have an answer. Lot was so vexed, so tormented living in this city. He wasn't tormented enough to get out until God made him. Until God made him. I got to have a conversation with Lot one day. I hope I do. Why did you stay? Why? And so this is the challenge today as we think about the righteous will be saved. Yes, you will be saved. Yes, you will be delivered through the blood of Jesus Christ. We will be delivered from the old world to the new. But here is the challenge. While we are here, will you speak and will you live and will you live a life that speaks of the righteousness of your God? And here's the reality. The world of sin should vex us, should bother us. And the child of God, sin should bother you. You should not be able to stay in it or stand it. You should want to get out. The last point is a reminder to all. Verse number 9, our last verse of the day. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The third point in today's sermon is this, is a simple reminder to all. Here is that reminder. As Peter stops here, he says, the Lord will deliver the godly. Those who are godly, the Lord knoweth how to deliver you out of temptations. I want, Christian believer, I want you to circle this verse. Because when the temptations come, here's the promise of God. He will deliver you out of those temptations. You do not have to fall into them. Amen? The Lord knows how to deliver. There is a way of escape from sin and from temptation. That's what the Bible teaches us. But also, the second half of that promise is this, that there will be punishment be brought to the ungodly that are in this old world. How do we receive this information at Clifford Baptist Church? How do we process this? Here's my help in that processing. Sin, no matter what form it is in, it could be I know in our Christian minds we like to categorize them as bad sins and not so bad sins. But here's the reality. The little white lie is a big sin in God's eyes. And it's the same as murder. Sin is sin is sin. No matter what form it is, here's the promise of God. It will be judged. And the reality for the one that is in this room today that is not a believer, that sin separates us from God for all eternity, not just in this world, but for all eternity. But here's what the good news says. Praise be to God for the blood of Jesus Christ that covers a multitude of sin. And because of that blood, when God Almighty looks at the sin in a believer's life, we have an intercessor through Jesus Christ that's saying, it is covered. It is covered by my blood. It is covered because that is a child of the King. People and cities and nations and the world will be judged one day. But it is God's duty to do that, not ours. The greatest form of judgment that the human can experience is that of eternal separation from God. And so today, if you are not a believer, here's what I want you to know. Jesus Christ loved you enough to go to a cross, to die in your place for your sin. And as He did, He gives you life and life anew through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Today, Christian, maybe you're here and you're having a hard time, or you're having your own struggles. Maybe you're surrounded by a sea of unbelief. Here's the encouragement for you. Keep the faith. As you hear about Noah and as you hear about Lot, keep the faith. You may not be able to control everything that goes on around you, but you can control your faith and your actions and your words in Jesus Christ. So today, even when the people seem like they're going against you, here is the promise from an almighty God. He will deliver. He will deliver. Today, I don't want to be a group of Christians that just sit back at the old world and say, oh, that's a horrible place. That's a horrible thing to think. That's a horrible action. Those unsaved people. No, we as the church, as we are building our own ark, we know the way, we know the truth, we know the life that is Jesus. It is our job to compel them to come, just as Noah did. Come on, get on board. Come to Jesus. He will save you. Today, it may seem like evil is winning. It may seem like the devil has the upper hand. But through Scripture today, can't we say thank you, Jesus, that we know you will deliver? Praise be to God today. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father God, Lord, thank you for this moment that we come before you in a moment of invitation. And Lord, as the table has been set, Lord, we understand the great price of sin. It cost us a life. It cost us our life. Lord, if we rebel against you, Lord, if we don't follow your will, God, I want to say thank you for the blood of Jesus, Lord, that paved the way to a relationship with a holy God and also to life for eternity. God, today, if somebody needs Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will deal directly with that heart. God, for the church and for the Christians that are represented today, God, would you give us a spirit of one that is compelled, that even though the world seems crazy and it seems like the world is going to hell around us, that we have the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, may we be the church and may we be the Christians that don't enact judgment, but simply through the blood of Jesus compel people to come, and that through Jesus, Jesus Christ will deliver and will save and will change lives. God, thank you. Thank you for a heart of a church that loves you. Thank you for the heart of a church that wants to see people saved, that wants to see a world changed through missions. God, today, I pray that you will deal with each heart during this moment of invitation. Lord, convict us where we need to be convicted and move us, deliver us, guide us closer to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.